Hello and welcome to the Tavern Chat Podcast. Well, let's change that. The Talking Crit Podcast.
You did it last week too, by the way.
I'm sure I did because it's a habit, because it is a Wednesday night, and that means Bad Mike, North Texas RPG Con. And I guess now you're like a senior partner at Frog God Games or something.
Me?
Yeah.
No, just customer service, man.
All right.
Whatever. That's all I do.
Yeah, something. And myself, Eric Tenkar, we like to talk crit about the industry. Some people say we talk shit. We might do that too. Our language is, at least my language is often PG 13.
NC-17, probably.
No. NC-17, maybe R. NC-17 means that I'm dropping.
PG-13 means you're allowed one fuck every move, all the movie. You're allowed one F.
That is the one. How many shits?
I think you can. I don't know, but I just know one F word. That's the limit. You're allowed one F bomb.
All right, so then I guess I would be rated R. Not NC-17. No. There's no like frontal nudity or anything.
No, not yet. Not. We're gonna wait a little.
Well, they don't want it from us. Although no. I will say, James Spahn offered to give me a picture for Christmas.
That guy.
That would be reminiscent of what I saw when he snuck up behind Frank Metz.
By the way, I have a James Spahn. I am that. When we get into this, I can share with you that will frighten you. It frightened me, so.
Oh, what, is it a visual?
No, but it's the possibilities scared me. So.
Oh geez, folks, Mike and I do joke that we call this podcast the Hex Crawl, because often we have points of interest that we'd like to get to, but the way we travel there, the way we get there, and where we land and where we wind up, it isn't preordained. Okay, so if you're listening live and you want to challenge us, make a comment. You might be able to derail us, or you might be able to put us back on track. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, you can try to derail us, but you're not going to derail us.
Yeah, you're not going to derail us because
we're
professionals.
We didn't even know we were doing this podcast till 7 minutes ago. So yeah, I mean, you can't throw anything at us that's worse than our real life experience.
It's the night before Thanksgiving. Okay. Rich and I had back-to-back doctor's appointments with the same doctor, which made it convenient. You know, that certainly helped. My niece is staying with us because she is COVID-free. We're in the world of COVID. So school let out yesterday. Her mother took her for a 4:30 COVID test. Results came back 15 minutes later. She passed because she was negative. So I guess she passed by failing, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be positive, because being positive – on a COVID test, is negative.
That's bad. Yep.
Yeah. And dropped her off last night. And then my sister and my brother-in-law are getting tested. Should have been earlier today. So we're going to have COVID-free people at a small family gathering.
We're going to have – my wife and I are relatively COVID-free. No, we're COVID-free. We've been on the beach for 3 weeks now.
You've been like self-isolating in a really good way.
Yeah, it's actually worked out really good, because the beach is a great place to isolate because you're so far away from everybody. And the funny part is, this beach actually is very strict on keeping apart from people. They have the guy, the beach patrol drives by with little tapes. You have to be 6 feet apart. Every two people have to be 6 feet apart. So they're pretty strict about enforcing distancing. But yeah, no, we've been just hanging out and enjoying the beach and staying in our condo, and we're gonna meet with my aunt and uncle and cousin tomorrow and they've been isolated for the past I don't know how many weeks. So we're now, the funny part is, they're the only people in my family down here that haven't had COVID. I have like 16 cousins have all had COVID, and they all luckily didn't have any issues. My 86-year-old aunt had it, and she's about 5 feet tall and weighs 300 pounds and has COPD, and she's okay. So there's something in our genes. I don't know what it is, but we're pretty hardy Badalotto. Actually, that's the Boudreaux family. We're the Boudreaux. The Boudreaux line of our family is extremely, extremely hardy. Mm-hmm. But yes, we're going to meet with them. So we're COVID free. Our aunt and uncle and cousin are COVID free. Hopefully the the turkey's COVID free. I don't know. We're going to hope it is. And then we're going to have a COVID, hopefully a COVID free holiday. Hopefully everybody else is, I know my rest of my family's isolating. My mom's going with my brother and wife and their two kids, and they've all been isolated. My mom hasn't been anywhere since March. She's 77, and she has literally not left her house since March. So she's pretty safe. So we're trying. I've seen her only a couple times. I didn't want to take any chance to get her sick. So
right.
No, so hopefully everybody's being careful this holiday and not just, you know, getting together just to get together and making sure you're, you know, like Eric's family and making sure you're COVID free and taking care of yourself.
But now the world of COVID that we are in, the new reality, so to speak, does bring up an interesting situation or interesting conversation, which I was part of on Facebook. Amazon last week started running a deep sale on Wizards of the Coast 5e releases. I mean, deep tracks, deep cuts, 40 to 50% off mainstream books for 5e. Actually, Tasha's, if you use the coupon, it comes down to like the latest one, the one that released last Tuesday, the 17th, is on sale for like, I don't know, $23 and change.
Yeah, these are crazy sales. I'm looking at this right now.
Yeah, but a lot of this stuff is also buy two, get one free. And the conversation on Facebook was, and I understand this completely, well, you should be supporting your local game store. And my feeling is yes. However, I don't really have a local game store. And I'm saying that because I live in Queens, part of New York City. I have to go into Lower Manhattan, 33rd Street, go to the complete Strat. I'd have to take the subway, which, if you remember how the subways were back in the 70s and the 80s, that's kind of returning with the homeless living on the subways 24/7, and a lot of people just not paying to get on it. So I'm really not looking forward, as a high-risk COVID individual because of congestive heart failure,
sure,
to take the train in to Lower Manhattan. Can't park down there. That's a given. So they're like, well, maybe you can mail order. Well, if I'm going to mail order and wait a week to get something, or I can mail order and get it the next day or 2 days with free shipping at 50% off, I'd love to give my local store the business. But for me personally, the math literally does not add up, and that sucks. It really does, because in this world of COVID, especially like I know parts of Texas are spiking. New York City is definitely spiking. There's our wonderful mayor. Yeah, I won't name him. I'll call him Big Bird. But he's already talking that we're probably looking at a total shutdown of the city in the next week or two, which means the death of your restaurants, because outdoor dining doesn't really work in December in New York. Might work in Texas. Yeah. And it's going to close things like the malls right before Christmas. So if you think that local businesses aren't suffering, they are. And I understand that completely. I just don't know what the solution is, because it's not going to be my dollars saving them. It's certainly not going to be the dollars of people who've been unemployed in some cases for months because of COVID lockdowns and shutdowns, who now are trying to escape into gaming and have a choice to either save money or, as Epi said, his coast game store is 150 miles away. Well, if it's 150 miles away, then your closest game store is probably Amazon.
Right? You probably have an Amazon fulfillment place close. That's true.
You know, so, I mean.
Well, but we were talking about that. A lot of these, you know, the COVID crisis was not kind to the mom and pop store industry.
No.
And a lot of game stores have gone under. And so a lot of people don't have a local game store anymore. A lot of game stores have they, first of all, they shut down, think, okay, let's see what happens. And then when things didn't get better, they just, they couldn't pay the rent and they went out of business. A lot of these places, my local one was very, very good about curbside service. They also do comics. They do comics and games.
Right.
And they had a curbside service. And even then I talked to the owner and it was very dicey for them a couple months. I mean, they lucked out by being in Texas. Texas did not have as onerous a shutdown as a lot of other states. Right. And they were able to benefit by the fact that people could actually still, they weren't considered an essential business. But people came to the store and I don't think anybody raised a fuss about it. As long as nobody said anything, I don't think it was a problem, but they obviously weren't having game days. They weren't having magic tournaments. I mean, these are all, you know,
all things that bring
people to the store. Yeah. Right. Traffic.
And let's be honest, traffic for a small business, foot traffic, the reason why game stores run these game days, especially with Magic the Gathering, is to get players into the store. Mm-hmm. Want to build a community. Yes, you're doing part of the goodness of your heart. But without customers, you don't have a business. And without the business, there's no place for people to play. Right. So it kind of goes both ways. But with COVID, there's no place for people to play in any case. And again, that sucks.
Yeah. No, and look, I'm not going to – I don't have any reason to be loving to Watsi. I mean, but there are some great deals. I'm looking at some of these deals here. $69 or $70 for Curse of Strahd Revamp. That's usually $100. So that's 30% off for something that just came out. That's brand new, the re-release. Rime of the Frost Maiden, $25.
Yeah, and I think that one is part of the buy two get one.
I'm not a purchaser of Watsi products anymore. But if you feel so inclined, those are pretty darn good deals. And if you are a local, if you're listening to us right now and you do business online, let us know. We'll pimp you right now.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Definitely. We'd be happy to. But right now, actually, I'm going to throw a pimp out for the Tabletop Bellhop site, because I did find some of the stuff, and it's not just Watsi stuff. There's some Green Ronin Age releases, Pathfinder First Edition and Second Edition, and a few other D&D related graphic novels and stuff. So there's other stuff out there. I mean, I found my own search earlier tonight. The Conan board game by Asmodee, that huge hulking box. Oh,
it looks so wonderful. Yes.
It's like, how much was it? $77. Normally it's like $110, $120.
Yeah, that looks so great.
You know, I mean, here's the confession. I actually backed the Kickstarter and I own it. But I think I only own it for the miniatures that I'll never use. But it looks effing
awesome. That for me, that falls under the title of aspirational gaming, because I would get that and never use it, but I'd look at it adoringly.
Well, yeah, that's lovingly. Cool, like that. Yeah. What was it? Ogre. You know,
so aspirational. Although we did play, Doug bought one of the giant versions. We played it a couple times. Mine's never been taken out of the box.
Oh, I took mine out of the box. And I assembled all the ogres, and then I went, "Wow, that looks cool." And then I put them all neatly back in the box.
Looks great. Yeah, it looks great.
It's too large for me to even take to any convention. I mean, maybe I could take it to TotalCon, but I don't think there's room at TotalCon to play ogre. I don't think
probably not. Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes down to, too. I mean, heck, I don't think there's a room large enough in my house to play a game at that scale. As much as I hate to admit it.
Oh, God, the miniatures for this Conan game look great. Oh,
don't they? I know.
Don't make me spend money on this. It looks
Mike, I'm not making you spend money. But if you do... I'll make sure I put a link up later on the blog.
Oh yeah, put a link up so I can throw some money at the chat.
And again, you know, that's the thing. We are on a huge weekend of sales, and most of these sales, unlike other years where everybody was, you know, swarming Walmarts and Best Buys and know, people have gotten pushed through glass doors out in Long Island at some of these places in years past. Somehow, I don't think we're going to see that same mad rush in person. Now, that being said, did I buy an early Black Friday gift for Rich and I? Yes, I bought a 65-inch Sony 4K TV with built-in Alexa for like, I don't know, $900, $850, maybe $850. Mm. So that will arrive on Sunday to start our holiday season out nice. But and that's the other thing too. Usually, I'm chomping at the bit for sales, and Frog Guy Games has a big sale going on right now.
Yes, we do.
Drive-through or the Frog Guy site on PDFs, nearly every title is 70% off. And there are some gems. I found some stuff that comes out to like 12 cents or something, 18 cents. I just because the stuff was, I guess, already selling at a nice markdown price on drive-through. Like a Hole of Bones is 90 cents. Rogues of Rumbalo, which, by the way, Mike will remember this as well as I do, because I think at my first GaryCon, we had a stack of these. It's selling for 18 cents. It's by Matt Finch. Where are you going to get a Matt Finch
for 18 cents? These are ridiculous prices. They're just ludicrous.
Yeah. I mean, Hall of Bones is 90 cents. That's a Bill Webb.
It's worth a dollar. I have all this stuff, and I would buy it again just because I can't pass up a deal, but there's no reason for you to buy it because I already have it.
Yep.
I mean, that's just crazy. Yeah. Anything written by Matt Finch is worth a buck. Anything written by Bill Webb is worth a buck. I mean, that's just crazy right there.
I mean,
now James Spahn, anything that he wrote is not worth anything. So
no, but that's why Walker Stole Christmas is $1.44.
Yeah, because
and Feast of the Gobbler is $1.44. So if you want your holiday themed adventures, you can get them fairly cheap.
I didn't think about that because he's kind of a bum, and I'm not sure, but
I'm sure
I might go $1.50, $1.40, $1.40 for Mike James Spahn.
You know,
by the way, Jay Spahn said, "This is. Tell me if this does not send fear in your heart. This is why we call this a hex crawl. It's going to go off in every direction tonight. So tell me if this does not send fear in your heart." Okay, here's what he said. So here's our conversation. This is James. Sounds like a lead to a joke, but do you like puzzles? Do you like doing jigsaw puzzles? And I said, "No, not really. I'm not the puzzle type of guy." Then James says, "Okay, I have other ideas for your Christmas present."
Oh, yeah.
And then I said, oh, God. They said, I found something better anyway. Oh, and so I say, do they even make B. Arthur Speedos? Because we have an inside joke with B. Arthur.
Oh, now I know. Okay.
And then he said, they do, but that's not it. I don't know which frightens me more, the fact that they do make B. Arthur Speedos, and he probably looked at them and thought about buying me one, because that's how he knows. Because how else would he know? If he hadn't looked it up, how would he know? Or that he's getting me something, quote unquote, better than that.
Better than
a B. Arthur Speedo.
Better than a B. Arthur Speedo.
That's the kind of person James Spahn is for people out there that don't know him.
Pasties.
It's gonna be something. It's gonna be scary. It's gonna be something. It's gonna be cringy.
But that's okay. It's James, and we do love him.
He probably found a disc of the old the original Star Wars holiday special, and he's probably sending that to me.
Oh God!
I think
somebody said it was up on YouTube,
you can watch. Yeah, it's on YouTube. it comes with a warning, I hope. But no, I always. So, for those who don't know, James and I are engaged in an eternal war about the holiday special, because he loves Star Wars. He loves anything about Star Wars. So I started, whenever he would go on a Star Wars rant, I started posting B. Arthur singing her song from the Star Wars holiday special on his whatever he was posting on Facebook. And this turned into a war about B. Arthur. So now I'll get in the mail Golden Girls merchandise, like a Golden Girls Funk Popo. And I got Golden Girls. I get Golden Girls stuff now because he thinks it's funny to mail me Golden Girls stuff. And so anytime he posts anything, I will put something about B. Arthur singing the Star Wars holiday special song. So we're engaged in internal war. This is the eternal conflict between James and I.
Well, but, you know, that works in its own.
Nobody's insane. Being hurt. Nobody's getting hurt. I mean, this is, you know, nobody's being hurt in this eternal battle.
Tell us where the bad game creator touched you, please.
Tell us where James Spawn touched B. Arthur. Yeah.
Oh, like you know, I don't think I've told the story on the Talking Crypt podcast.
Oh dear, here we go.
But James was at North Texas RPG Con a couple years ago, and he was having an experience kind of like mine, where your first time you see the people in the industry that you're like, oh my God, that's Frank Metzler. Frank actually knows who I am. Or, oh my God, that's Jeff Grubb. Jeff Grubb reads the blog. And like, you're speechless. Right? So I'm talking with Merle Rasmussen and Frank Metzner. And up coming from behind Frank is James. And he sees that I'm talking to two luminaries, right, from the gaming industry. And Frank is facing me. And so Frank doesn't know what's coming up from behind. But somebody else does. And about 2 or 3 feet behind Frank, James takes his shirt, lifts it all the way, flashes me man boobs.
Ouch.
And Merle does a very polite cover of the eyes. I'm bursting out laughing, and Frank had never had a clue. Because then James just does a dip and does a dip off and has no idea why I lost my control because... So yeah, that's why I can see the D. Arthur. So James asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I said, "I'm happy to be healthy. I don't
need anything else." That's what I should. No, I need to send him something like that. I just want your love and adoration.
Well, you never know. Then you might get a personal you might get a framed 8x10 of. Of an artist's interpretation of that scene in my head.
I'd rather get something from WotC.
Well, yeah.
And I don't even buy WotC stuff. I'd really get something to that than have James send me anything.
It's probably less painless. Now, we're talking about WotC. and WotC has found themselves.
Oh, yes. We have.
And yet.
Another week? Another lawsuit? Yes. More so stuff to talk about.
Right. So this is two lawsuits for Wizards of the Coast. This fall.
Hey, Charlie. I just saw Charlie popped in. Charlie Phipps. Hello, Mr. Charlie.
Yes.
Have a good holiday, sir. Oh, and Epi, too.
Epi.
I just switched over to comments. I don't know what I was doing. I was on private chat.
I don't know. But you can look at I don't know if it shows up on the screen.
I wasn't looking at the right thing. I'm sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
It's okay.
You're up there.
But I think what the winter comes, what, 22nd to 23rd of December? So we have just under a month for WotC to get the seasonal hat trick. They got to get one more lawsuit for breach of contract before December 22nd, and then we can like give them the Razzie Award or something like that. We should actually have Talking Crit Awards that we give out.
We might. Hey, the holidays are coming up. It's end of the year. We may have our end of the year Talking Crit Awards. I like this.
You know,
I like where this is going. This could kill a whole show. I like it.
Oh, it could kill the audience too, but it could certainly kill further sponsorship. But we don't care about that anyway. But here's the deal. So this time it's Gale Force 9, and if you don't know Gale Force 9, and I was surprised I knew Gale Force 9, because although I am not a WotC fan, and again, it's not because I dislike WotC. I just don't play 5e, right? I mean They lost me with 4E, and I already found the OSR, so why come back for 5E? But Gale Force 9 does a lot of these high-end, pre-painted, limited miniatures. And I'm going to say, holy shit, this stuff looks good. They also, apparently, are the licensee that licenses... I guess sub-licenses or re-licenses, translations of 5e in other languages, in other markets. So, but that also means that when they sell their figures in Korea. Now they have to repackage it in Korean for South Korea or wherever they're going to sell it. Well, apparently there was a problem with Watsi not liking some of the translations of their books in Korea. But this is apparently also the lawsuit, by the way, sets up a great, you know, it shows you not just what's going on, but it gives you Wizards of the Coast reasons for claiming that they can breach the contract by saying that Guild Force 9 put out shoddy subpar work. That's the Korean thing. It's a translation thing, and Wizards of the Coast, apparently their in-house Korean translator or language specialist said, yeah, it looks fine. And then it apparently got bad comments from the community over in Korea, and it went bad. But what I found more interesting, and it actually makes me want to laugh, is that in France, Guild Force 9 licensed, and I can't remember the company's name offhand, but they licensed D&D to a French RPG company who then repackaged D&D under their own trademark. That could be a problem. But that's not what caused this issue. Apparently, Wizards of the Coast is pulling something similar to the Weiss and Hickman deal, where we're not actually pulling out of the contract. We're just not going to approve anything going forward. So items that are now being prepared for sale in other markets, and all they're doing is changing the packaging. Like the mini is not changed. Now Wizards of the Coast is not rubber stamping what they use the rubber stamp, thereby depriving Guild Force 9 not just of money, but probably of employing the number of employees they have. It's interesting. And I've got theories as to what's going on, and it has nothing to do with minis or translations. But I want to hear Mike's thoughts, actually.
I can't say this originally. I saw somebody write something about this. I don't think it's any coincidence this is happening and then the Margaret Weiss, Tracy Hickman thing happened. This is Watsi trying to get out of contracts.
Yep.
And why do you try to get out of a contract? What are the main? I mean, there's several reasons you might try to get out of contract. You may try to get out of contract because maybe the money terms aren't you know in your favor. Maybe you're trying to sell a property. I mean, there's different reasons, but these all look like very much like they're just trying to get out of contracts, and so they're going by the letter of the law to basically say, well, we're not canceling the contract. What we're doing is we're making these terms that are going to be impossible for you to deal with. And then you're actually going to want us to cancel the contract. I mean, you're going to want to cancel it because, you know, the way we're, because it's the same thing with happened with the Weiss and Hickman thing. We're not approving your books. We're just not going to approve your books. Okay.
Well, that's like that's not approving. That means you're not approving.
It's the same thing. So,
right. We're not disapproving. We're just not approving.
Watsi's getting out of, they're dumping contracts. So why would they be dumping contracts? I don't know. I mean, I thought about this. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons. I'm not privy to anything behind the scenes. It could be maybe Hasbro has looked down and said, you're spending too much money on this, and we want to start, you know, COVID's not been kind to everything, and we're losing money, and so we want to stop spending money on things. Are they planning a sixth edition and they're trying to get rid of all these fifth edition contracts? I mean, I don't know. There's any number of things you can speculate on, but that's exactly what all this looks to me. All these lawsuits is exactly.
I'm going to talk my shit about what I think. And yes, I do think that they're trying to get a contract. And I strongly suspect, because it was hinted at in the Weiss and Hickman lawsuit, that, remember, Wizards of the Coast changed out the editors that they were dealing with and brought in new suits. And I think the new suits were not appointed by Wizards of the Coast. They were brought in by Hasbro.
Right.
So I think part of what's going on is Hasbro is coming down hard on its totally owned subsidiary, Wizards of the Coast, and saying, you think that you run your own world, but you don't. You don't. We run the world. and you gave away these contracts, and we don't think the terms are to our advantage, and we're going to fix that. I think that's a large part of it, okay? Because Gale Force 9 is doing good business being a licensee mm-hmm. of the Dungeons & Dragons titles. Now, maybe Wizards of the Coast is saying, we're not necessarily looking to get into the minis business, but maybe we should be doing our own translations overseas. And these because with the Gale Force 9, the contracts were just extended, like beginning of the year. And now at the end of the year, Wizards of the Coast is looking to screw them over it. Mm-hmm. It means that there's a change of leadership vision. Now, also, we had a change of leadership at Wizards of the Coast, right? Ray Winninger. He is now the brand manager of D&D. This is all happening under the D&D brand. So maybe there's some of that going on. And last, I'm going to throw out, is we have a D&D movie coming up, 2022? And it could be that they're afraid, especially now, we're going to go back to the minis, how do movies make monies in these kind of genres? They make it on action figures and selling things. And it used to be Toys R Us, but now it's going to be Walmart and Target and places like that. And do you want your licensee making that chunk of your money, or do you want to make that chunk of your money? You want to make it. You know, so it might be trying to bring that back. And it could be that the Dragonlance contract, and we don't know, maybe that had included with it licensing of assorted figures and add-ons that would not have gone directly to Wizards of the Coast. It would have gotten just a piece of the pie. So there's a lot of possibilities. What I personally don't think it is, and we've discussed this a little bit before, I don't think it's a new edition of D&D coming down the pipe, but not because the lifespan has more life in it. It certainly does, but I don't think that's the reason. And it's not necessarily just the reason because Pathfinder 2 is a failure. Not a total failure, but it's certainly a failure in trying to transition Pathfinder 1 players to Pathfinder 2. It's not happening. There's a lot of resistance to it. But I think it's because Wizards of the Coast is going to give you your 6th edition by stealth. And what I mean by that is that they're not going to announce a 6th edition, but they're going to revise the rule books, and they're going to show the new changes that be making to classes and other rules and some of this other stuff. So when they print the new edition, it's almost going to be like not necessarily like with 3rd edition when 3.5 came out. Yes, it was a new edition, but it was still being billed as 3rd edition, right? They didn't want to change right. that because they realized we're going to schism our following and our fan base if you do it. And if you look at Paizo has butchered their fan base. And maybe it's still profitable because you're selling the core books, but can you do another reboot for Pathfinder 3 down the line on a shorter term time frame than Pathfinder 2 took? Because that's kind of what you do. You're cannibalizing your own, you know, your own fan base to keep the money going. I think that Wizards of the Coast will not be as obvious about doing it. And since with COVID, and even before COVID, a lot of Wizards of the Coast players, maybe they have the core books, but they all have D&D Beyond, right? They all have D&D Beyond. And where are these rule changes and updates being instituted? D&D Beyond. If you're playing at a game store and you're playing within the Adventures League, I think you have to have an updated D&D Beyond account. Your rules are coming from the D&D Beyond account and not necessarily the actual books. You know, the hard books. We are a generation that still thinks of RPGs being in, I've got my first printing, first edition of the DMG. I still have, you know, this, and now with PDF and electronic publishing, these changes can be inserted without changing the addition. And I personally think Wizards of the Coast is going to try that attempt.
I like your theory, and I think that makes sense. And well, I don't know that that bean counters are involved in some way, shape, or form, and that somebody did the math and said, you know what, we're paying, for instance, the case of Weiss and Hickman, we're paying them this much. What's our return on this, really? I mean, are we going to get a new Dragonlance? Are we going to do this, that? And so they just started creating obstacles that were impossible for Weiss and Hickman to make. But, you know, oh, we don't like this. You're going to have to rewrite 90 pages. We don't do this. Oh, you know what? We're not going to approve your book. We're just not going to approve. I mean, this is all lawyer type stuff. But yeah, I think they're cost saving measures on one hand. I think that somebody did that. Like I said, I think somebody did the math and said this isn't working out for us. And look, Hasbro's no dummies. If they see a contract they don't like, they're gonna get out of it. They're gonna figure a way to get out of it.
Oh God, yeah.
And so, you know, if you know, and I don't know the particulars about some of these, but apparently there was something about both these contracts that somebody somewhere didn't like. And I think you're going to see more of this too. I don't think this is going to end here. I think you're going to see a couple. Now, whether or not there'll be lawsuits involved is one thing. Usually lawsuits happen because somebody doesn't want to settle or somebody doesn't, you know, and that's what I think is interesting to me, because I'm surprised that it got so far that they had to threaten a lawsuit.
The optics are bad.
It just creates a lot of, it's a lot of work for everybody involved. It's a lot of lawyers sending letters back and forth, and it's just garbage. And it's that kind of stuff. And that we don't like to is in the fan world, we don't like to see it, but this is how the sausage is made, you know? And so every once in a while we get a glimpse because of social media. I mean, we would have known about this 30 years ago. You probably remember, Eric. Remember when Gary Gygax was let go from TSR? We didn't know what happened for 20 years.
No, because
he doesn't work there anymore. I mean, what happened? I mean, somebody else heads a company, and what's going on? And
the only hint that we had, okay, because remember this is before social media, is when Dangerous Dimensions had to get pulled from Game Designers Workshop because they published Dangerous Dimensions. And it was too similar in titling to Dungeons and Dragons that it became Dangerous Journeys. It was going to be Dangerous Dimensions, but Wizards of the Coast. No, sorry, TSR at the time threatened Gary with a suit on that one. Uh-huh. And I think they wound up suing in the end because they claimed that he was writing this game when he was working for them. So, but yeah, we had no clue. It was written in a magazine.
Because there was no social media. The magazines weren't really covering it because they didn't want to get involved. And unless you went to a convention and talked to somebody like Frank or Gary or somebody. And so the only way I found out about it was I had a friend who had a friend that went to Gen Con like in 91 or 92 and talked to some of these people, and they told him what happened. And then I think Frank said something about it like in the 90s when I first got on Facebook. I think he said something about it, but you know, you didn't know at the time because we didn't have the kind of reach we have now. Now this all becomes boom. It's right out there on Facebook and on social media right after it happens, Twitter, everything. Yep. And so we hear about all these things, but these things have always gone on. It's just that we're just seeing how the sausage is made up close and not behind the scenes like it used to be. I mean, there's so many things I didn't know. I mean, why did Judges Guild stop publishing stuff? I didn't know in the 80s until the 90s came around that somebody – I talked to somebody to explain the whole – you know, so I mean, there's a lot of things like that that happened that we just had no clue. Like, you know, I didn't even know why really they went from first to second edition. And then I talked to Steve Winter and – Zeb Cook, you know, in the 90s, or actually right. Probably more like – that's more like the aughts. That's when North Texas started, and they gave me the whole rundown on that. Jim Ward was – I didn't know Jim Ward was in charge of that project, but he was. And then, you know, so I always thought it was one reason, and my what I always heard was this is to prevent Gary from getting any royalties off the first edition game. And what the heck's going on back
there? I don't know. You okay, Rich? You're gonna gunfire over on Elliot. Yeah.
This is a live show. These things happen. Live shows.
Live show.
You guys should have pets jump on.
Rach has her nosy neighbor app on her phone. So, and you might have heard it. It sounded like fireworks. It was not fireworks.
Well,
over on Elliott Avenue, which is probably about a mile from me, reported gunshots. So that was Rach's. Oh shit! It actually was. I kind of heard it through my headphones. And I went. Probably not fireworks, but I'll just pretend I didn't hear anything. But yeah, that's what it was.
Not even talk. Oh, so anyway, yeah. So these are things we didn't know at the time. What else was I talking about? Oh, the what did I say right before
we got distracted with gunshots? So yeah, David Thompson. When I was at Games Workshop, we weren't allowed to develop or sell our own games. And you know what? That is common in a lot of industries, and a lot of industries too. If you do develop something while employed by the company, it automatically belongs to the company. My father worked for New York Telephone and actually invented a circuit. I guess he jury-rigged something that kept the Brooklyn Circus from going down. It wound up getting patented. He got an award, and he got a life-size poster of himself put up for a couple of years. But he got what he got in return for it was a slap in the back, and it's you're still earning your salary. Congratulations.
Oh boy.
And that was it, because it was done while he was employed. Now, theoretically, if he did it on his off time using homemade components, maybe he could have, but I'd have to see the contract. But a lot of times with game companies, if you're employed by a game company, what you write during that time is owned by the company. And my understanding, that's what was the issue with Gary, is that Dangerous Dimensions became Dangerous Journeys, which became Mythos, if I remember right, and then got pulled under lawsuit, was because the assumption was, or the claim was, that Gary wrote it while he was working for TSR.
Yep. But which I think, that lawsuit, people have said in this, I firmly believe that was a lawsuit to kick Gary in the nuts. And it was one of those lawsuits that failed, but succeeded. It failed in that, I believe in the long run, Frank and Gary both said they got paid money. But it succeeded, and it basically destroyed their company because the legal bills they couldn't match up to what TSR was paying lawyers. The point of this is that these are things that we wouldn't, 20, 30 years ago, we just didn't know were happening. But these have always been happening. Companies are always trying to get out of contracts.
Yep.
And they're always trying to find weasel ways. Their lawyers are always trying to find weasel ways to get out of contracts. And what I was going to before was saying that I'm surprised they let it get this far, because you're right, the optics are bad, and it doesn't seem to. I don't know where the advantage lies. I guess the advantage lies with the bigger company, Hasbro. They've got bigger lawyers and more money.
Mike, let's be honest. The American legal system, when it comes to civil courts. And when it comes to stuff on that level, I'm not talking about small claims or slip and fall when you get your lawyer from the commercials on TV. Oh fuck! I don't know if you hear that.
More gunshots.
Yeah.
Well, you could have to get down on the ground and.
No, it's about a mile away.
Broadcast under the desk.
That is. Yeah, holy shit. Well, happy Thanksgiving, folks.
It's not like it's not like in Texas when we have New Year's and everybody fires guns in the air. This is different.
No.
This isn't everybody firing guns in the air for Thanksgiving or anything.
And here's the thing. I mean, obviously, I was a cop for 20 years. I started out in the South Bronx. I've heard live gunfire, not just at the range, but when you hear live gunfire in the late 90s when you're on patrol, and here, we're going to Hex Crawl for a minute. and you hear it, and you turn to your two partners you have with you in the van, and like, you heard that, right? I'm like, yeah. I go, it's ahead about five blocks, I think, right to the right. I'm like, yeah. So as we're driving to it, right now it comes over the radio, and sure enough, we were off by a block. It's Westchester and Ho. We were going to Westchester and Fales. Like, ah, and we get there, and I see a guy leaned over a mailbox, and he was about 6 feet tall, built like a fire plug. I mean, the guy was just round, and he's wearing an 8-ball jacket. I don't remember if any of you remember 8-ball jackets. They had the 8-ball on. The leather jacket, very big. And I go up to the guy, and he's got literally a half dozen bullet holes in his back. He's bleeding through the jacket. And I'm trying to be compassionate. Yo, my man, we got an ambulance coming. You're going to be okay. Officer, tell me the truth. I go, I'm telling you the truth, man. You're going to be okay. No, I don't care about that shit. How bad is the jacket? I'm like, what?
It's not doing too good, brother.
I'm like, I know I've been shot. And I guess he was a big guy, so maybe the fat kind of. But I was like, he's like, yo, I know I've been shot, but yo, did they hit the 8-ball? And I'm looking at the 8-ball, and I'm like, at least three of the rounds are like in the white of the 8-ball, because I can see like red. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna need some dry cleaning. tell me you won't let them MTs, man. You won't let the MTs cut this off.
Oh, yeah, because they're going to cut that thing right off.
The MTs get there, and it takes four of us to get him on the stretcher. We lay him face down. And he's like, officer, you promised. I'm like, yeah, guys, listen, he wants you to save his 8-ball jacket. And they looked at me like, what? I go, listen, his 8-ball jacket, it means a lot. They're like,
at this point, it's not going to hurt him any worse to take it off of than to cut it off of.
It's going to be an easier ride to the hospital if you take the jacket off him as opposed to cutting it off. I just get that feeling.
I would do the same with my North Texas shirt. I mean, you know, if I get shot 8 times, I'm going to say, no, man, take it. Don't. Cut it, man. Let me pull it off my head.
Yeah, no, that was one of those, like, and afterwards, I'm like, I can't believe I just lived through a story where the guy was more concerned about his 8-ball. Was he going to, like, you know, will it to his kid?
You know what, though? You know how that is, though. When you go into shock, you just try to send your mind someplace else because you don't want to, you know, think about how much pain you're in or what you're doing. So you just, I mean, I've heard people say the craziest things when they're just like something really bad happens, but you know, they're worried about, you know, they fall off a building like, oh, is my watch okay or something, because they're just trying to keep their mind off whatever just happened to them, and they're trying to grab onto something. So this guy, it was his jacket, man. Like, man, I want my jacket to be okay. Hey, but, if you lived through it and his jacket was okay, that'd be a hell of a story to tell people.
Oh, yeah, you wear that with the bullet holes.
Yeah, you got bullet holes all through your jacket.
I got shot 6 times in the back on a hole in Westchester, and all I got out of it was this goddamn jacket. But, you know, and listen, I was a gamer before I became a cop. And when you became a cop, you kind of didn't really tell people that you played RPGs. So, you're a rookie on a foot post, and, like, you're feeling out your partner for the night. And so what do you do for hobbies? Oh, I shoot guns. And I used to play role-playing games. Doesn't sound as bad as Dungeons & Dragons. Like, oh, D&D? Like, oh, thank you. We had the right conversation. Apparently we matched up. But when this incident happened, after, you know, we took the report on stuff, all I'm thinking in my head is, shit, man, this guy must be like a 10th level fighter. His hit points are high because he took 6 well placed bullets and full consciousness. I mean, just mourning the loss of his jacket. But, yeah, so there you go, folks. You wanted a hex crawl. You wanted to see where this conversation was going to go.
I don't have any. I'm looking. Let me see. I got the surf and the beach out here, man. That's all I got. Sorry. I was gonna bring the camera out there, but the thing is, it's too. By the time we do the show, it's always too dark. And honestly, the surf, we're so close. I could throw a rock and hit the ocean. The surf is so loud, you wouldn't be able to hear me. I mean, it's that you can't even take phone calls out on our.
All right, so now And Mike, just so
and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that's how.
No, cool no, you're not bragging.
I can't even bring it out there just to show you guys that I really am on the beach. Well, look at this. Look at my tan, man.
Yeah, you got good color, man.
I got a lot of color. I've been getting walks in every day, 2 miles a day.
Nice.
I have to. I'm so fat. Oh my god, COVID has not done anything.
It hasn't done waistline. Done any of us.
Oh my god, please. So big, so fat, so big.
But you owe me something. Okay, so you can film it during the day.
I do owe you some. And okay, so this is what's going to happen with this that I owe you. Instead of I can't burn it because there's no fires along the beach, but I can I can drown them.
Oh no! I'll take the drowning. I can
dig a hole, put them in there, and when the tide comes in.
Oh! I'd love to see that. Yes.
We can see them drowned.
We have to speak
in code, because folks. We're speaking in code.
You know,
because
here's the and here's the thing. Somebody who has great affection for me loved Swords and Wizardry Light so much that they put a burning stake through it and took a picture of it and showed it on social media to show how much affection they had for me. So I just was trying to be a little imaginative in how I was going to return the affection this holiday season. So.
Yeah. So you know.
Yeah, there we go, and it goes for a good cause.
Yeah, so we're gonna. I will put them out there and film them drowning.
Yes, and I'll share it on YouTube.
Shed a tear.
Yeah. So we'll. I'll get some copyright free music to play behind it. Like
copyright free. Yes.
Yeah, copyright free. Because I don't want to. Yeah, something I can maybe we got the sound of like taps or something like that, or some bagpipes going. You know, we can mourn the loss, but
this item, man, I don't know if I should be going here, but this item this item one time was laid out on a table at GaryCon, and it sat there for 8 hours and nobody picked it up. We had a copy, and so we read through it and laughed at it. I think you remember this.
I remember and it very well. We all had names.
Yeah. I'm not even listening to any people there. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. People were there and one guy looked at it. And so he said, let's lay this on the table. His name has to do with an insect. And he said, let's lay this on the table. And we watched it all night long and nobody even picked it up to look at it or take it. We thought, well, somebody to take this certainly.
Yeah,
nobody wanted to take
table.
It up.
It's not we left it at a table in the vending room.
It was in the bar.
And
with lots of people, nobody would touch it.
I was expecting somebody would pick it up and like flip through it or say, hey, did anybody leave this behind?
No.
I think one person used it for a drink coaster at one point. Uh-huh. But
it was being used as a coaster. Yeah, that was.
But you know, you don't want to damage the tables at the bar because you know. But that was good times, man. Good times. But so we had thanks to the wonderful gunfire out here in the outer borough of Queens, which although New York City had seen an increase in crime and shootings and homicides. My area, Queens, has been pretty quiet, but that's because I live in a pretty quiet area. But go figure. Always somebody causing troubles.
By the way, so speaking of troubles, being here on the beach, they don't really have anything. I mean, there's no murders on the island. They do have a lot of robbery stuff. But they have beach patrols. These guys go up and they have these four wheelers. They drop and down, and so being at the beach, the main thing they enforce is making sure nobody has like glass bottles. I mean, they're not. Everyone's, right. I guess someone might get drunk and have a fight. I don't know during spring break, but they've been tasked with keeping the Cameron County has a pretty strict COVID rules here, and one of them is that if you're on the beach and an umbrella, you can't be 6 feet from another umbrella. Now, I understand why the rule is, because you don't want, you know, it's spring break, you don't want all these umbrellas sit there, only people don't know each other around there. But let's say, like, you know, my extended family, because I right now I'm living with my daughter and my son-in-law and my grandbaby. Well, let's say we all sat under an umbrella, there'd be five of us, right? There's not four now, there's five. Well, they could come by and say, hey, y'all need to move, because there's even technically, we could say we all live in the same house and we've been living in the same house for months. Technically, it's still breaking the rules, right? So these guys have to drive around these four-wheelers. And I know it must drive them crazy. And we see them stop outside the window whenever there's an umbrella with more than five people, and they pull out their – and they – you can see them having the discussion, and the guys look so hangdog, and they're like, look – and you can see them going, look, I know this sounds stupid, but you can't have five people under the umbrella. But we all live in the same house. I know, but you can't have five under people under the umbrella. And so there's these arguments. You see these huge arguments going on down there, and they pull out their little – ruler that's 6 feet long.
It's
so hilarious. And you know, that's the problem with you know, something like COVID happens, is that you have these rules and they're arbitrary because they have to be, because right. We want to keep everybody safe. But there's sometimes when common sense goes right out the window, because you can't have common sense. You have to say, look, you know, we have a rule that only four people are allowed on an umbrella. The other day they had four umbrellas out there, and they had about, I don't know, 16, 70 people, and they're all crowded under there. They had to stop, and you saw them get out, and they made everybody move their umbrella 6 feet away.
You got to spread it out, bro.
And so then they drove off, and everybody moved their umbrella right back to where they were before. But you could tell the guy was arguing. He was saying, we're all the same family. We all live in the same house. And they're like, we know, but, you know. So that's instead of gunshots, as we get here, we get cops running around making sure that people are within 6 feet of each other. So it's a little calmer here than it is in New York right now. Let's just put it that way. Kim said I posted a bunch of things on Facebook before I realized you wouldn't be able to see it. Happy Thanksgiving, boys. Walk, Michael. We all want to stay around for a long time. My wife too. And this ties into to Eric's I love you too, Kim. We love you, Kim. And this ties into Eric's health. Look, Eric has been through hell this year. Yeah. And so he's been doing a lot of really good things in his life. I need to kind of do the same thing. So first day I came here, I tried to walk 2 miles, because 2 miles is not very much. I used to be able to walk 5 miles a day. I could not do 2 miles. I had a horrific pain in my lower back, and this is because I've gained weight. And I've been sitting around all day, not doing anything. And I did it, but it took literally like an hour and a half. It was awful. And so at the point now, here we are 3 weeks in, I can walk the 2 miles and without the horrific back pain. It still bothers me a little bit, and I have to stop like once or twice, but I'm getting back to where I can actually move and not. But yeah, I'm well aware that, you know, that COVID has not been my friend when it comes to health. But yeah, that's, I was really, David says I can walk 100 to 200 yards. I mean, that's how bad. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't walk that far. I just couldn't believe it. I was trying to walk and I got like half mile. I'm like, I can't do this. I mean, I had this pain in my back is so excruciating. And I just said, I just have to do it. And I made myself do it. And it took almost 2 hours just to walk 2 miles. And because I had to stop, and it was awful. And I was embarrassed. I was absolutely embarrassed. But look, if you guys are out there and you haven't been doing, because, you know, COVID, one of the things they tell us COVID is you need to stay inside. But I'm telling you right now, you got to get out every once in a while. If you can get out and walk in the park or walk on your street or walk in your backyard, do it. I mean, just get out, because corollary to this is vitamin D is very good for you. And my doctor is one of the, my, primary physician is one of those that swears by vitamin D helping against COVID. He and his wife caught COVID earlier this year, and he was totally asymptomatic, didn't have any issues. And he told me he says it was because of vitamin D. He takes mega doses of vitamin D. He takes about 10,000 milligrams of vitamin D a day. He said he hasn't been sick in 7 years since he's been taking vitamin D. And the best way to get vitamin D is the sun. 15 minutes of the sun every day, he tells me, because you need to spend 15 minutes in the sun. And I never do. I haven't until this vacation. But he's always telling me, Mike, you need to spend 15 minutes a day in the sun at least. You get all the vitamin D you need. But I do take vitamin D supplements too. But vitamin D is great for you. Get out, walk, and get that sunlight. You know, if you can't do 2 miles, do a mile. Do something. I mean, I just can't believe I let it get this far to where I'm just this out of shape.
Well, Mike, here's the thing. And I think everybody has to remember this. And I'm not the first person to say this, but every journey starts with that first step. You have to take that first step. And just by saying that, you know, I if you say to yourself, I can't do it, well, then you won't. But if you try, maybe you will, and at least try and get you closer to your goal. I have the trifecta of hospitalizations this year. I've been hospitalized 3 times. And as an adult, I never spent the night in the hospital until this year. My only time I spent the night in the hospital was when I was like, I don't know, 2.5, 3 years old. I don't plan on returning to the hospital, and I plan on sticking around for a nice long time, which means I have to make sure I am healthy and losing the weight, going out. We walked the dog today. And, folks, you can go out. And I joke with my father because I went out for a walk with my father last week, and first he didn't want to put his mask on. Then he did. He wore it, like I told him, in the Joe Biden manner, which is under your nose, which, you know, he's like, well, like, it was like, well, like, when I go into the pharmacy, I'll put it on right. I'm like,
just, it's not doing you any good, Ben. Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
just fucking go home at this point. All right, dude. Just fucking go home. But listen, I hate breathing through the mask, and I wear glasses. So what happens when I wear glasses? I steam up because the mask is pushing this air up too. You know, some of the airflow comes up out of your mask. I want to put my glasses on the top of my head.
And it fogs up your glasses. Is that to me every time too? I had to take my glasses off. Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's just stuff that you have to adjust. And I'm not saying that I love the mask. I love social. I don't. I think I really, it is very frustrating for me. I'm somebody who used to spend 4 weekdays, you know, my lunches were at my local pub, hanging out with the community there. And now I'm there maybe once every other week, outdoor seating, or, oh, we can take the confessional seating in the back because there's nobody else in here yet because we got here at 12 o'clock and we'll be out before the 1 o'clock lunch crowd comes in. It's hard. But it's the new reality, and that's a shame.
Well, I had big plans this year because I have a gym membership, and I was going to switch gyms this year. Well, end up not – COVID hit, and there was no gym membership at all, so I haven't been doing anything. And it becomes easy when you're quarantined. It's easy not to do anything, right?
Yes.
You're at home all day. I mean, I went from here to the warehouse, back and forth, and that was it. And then, you know, mix in a little fast food every once in a while because that's one thing. I haven't had any fast food down here. It's been 3 weeks. I tried to cut out Diet Coke, but man, I'm an addict. I went 2 days without it, and I was falling asleep all day. It was awful. I think I need the caffeine at this point. I don't drink coffee, so that's my caffeine in
See, Mike, I'm gonna give you a fifth name of the mints. There are mints I found on Amazon that have caffeine, and these mints they taste good. And like 2 mints is equal to like a cup of coffee. And if you need your caffeine hit, oh my God, it actually works out pretty well. I have them around here somewhere. I'll send you the link later. But yeah, because I've cut back on caffeine. Otherwise, I thought it was getting cold now, so now I can drink tea. And I'm not a coffee person at all. But as you can see, Mike and I have been drinking throughout the podcast. Although I will be the first to admit that I have not. Oh, see, this is going to be hard for me to show. There we go. Hop tea, which, believe it or not, is in this case, it's white tea made with hops, lemon drop, and Simcoe hops. And I am a big beer drinker. I love my beer. With congestive heart failure, I was afraid I would not be drinking alcohol again. That is not the case. But I like my beer, I like my wine. And I find that the hop tea tastes better than any of the fake non-alcoholic beers I've tried. And it's actually pretty satisfying. So I've inadvertently cut back on my beer drinking by finding hops in another way. Oh, it's got caffeine, Mike, just so you know.
Oh, there you go.
60 milligrams of caffeine. So it might not get you buzz, but it will give you a nice caffeine rush.
Well, I mean, I'm not worried about the caffeine as much as I'm worried about just Diet Coke's really bad for you. Like most carbonated drinks are just, they're bad for you. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're diet or sugar.
Right. It's sugar or not. When I was in, like, just of heart failure, the nutritionist is like, oh, you shouldn't be drinking diet soda. Get unsweetened iced tea and just put lemon in it. I'm like, okay, but that will make my day really tasteless. Because I can't have juices because they have the sugar in it. He goes, yeah, but it's still not good for you. I'm like, So I will admit, like, in the mornings, what I've been doing is I found Grape Crush, the, I don't know, like, kind of like the little squeeze things. We can, like, squeeze, like, you know, a little squirt into your glass and make your seltzer into a grape soda.
Uh-huh.
Oh God, it's addictive, dude. I did not realize how much I like grape soda until I can make it as sweet as I want, which is not very sweet. To tell you the truth, I don't like things as sweet as a lot of people drink them, but I was like, this is almost too good to be legit. So, your plans for Thanksgiving, Mike? Turkey, stuffing, all the trimmings?
Turkey, I think so. My aunt usually puts up quite a good spread, and she won't let us bring anything, which I love relatives like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're always like, what do you want us to bring? Like, I don't know, I'll bring some ice. But, yeah, we'll have all the goodies there. My grandmother passed away many years ago. She made a dressing. It was an oyster dressing. And okay. I tried it. I can't do it. I cannot make it like her. My aunt does a very close approximation. Nobody has ever been able to make it like my grandmother. I don't know what my grandmother did. But, she had that oyster stuffing dressing that was incredible. And I just love that at Thanksgiving. And unfortunately, we have the recipe. We just can't. She was doing something. She's putting grandma love in there.
Something.
I don't know.
My grandmother used to make a stuffing that was, I don't know, it had to be like two or three like loaves of bread and like a dozen eggs. Who the hell knows what she used? But it was stuffing that you could actually slice, but it was delicious. Oh my God. And my mother has tried to recreate the recipe, and it's good. It is not the same. Now, of course, here I am in the world of type 2 diabetes and trying to keep my blood sugar. It's like I gotta have, you know, alternate things to eat. So I have my low carb chocolate cake mix. I'm gonna make a chocolate cake tomorrow, and I'm either gonna make low carb not cornbread. Basically, it uses almond flour or coconut flour to substitute for your traditional wheat flour.
Now, we'll say one thing. I've been a diabetic since I was about 30. It's a real weird story. I'm a type 1 diabetic. My pancreas died. I had a real bad flu. The endocrinologist at the time was very ahead of his – the endocrinologist I had was very ahead of his time. He said that, yeah, sometimes flu will kill organs, and I thought that was weird, but then – sure enough, I read a medical study about 5 years ago that said they have confirmed that flu can kill your liver and your kidneys and your pancreas.
Really?
Yeah, and that was all speculation back when I had that. But anyway, so I wasn't born diabetic. I became diabetic, and it's type 2 diabetes. But one thing I learned is that every once in a while you have to let yourself go every once in a while. I mean, it's not crazy. I'm not talking about eat like a whole pie or, you know, just loading up on 16 biscuits at the table or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, one day a year, it's not too, you know, Thanksgiving is kind of the day I let myself go. I'm like, you know, I'm going to have mashed potatoes. I'm going to have stuffing.
I'm going to have the mashed potatoes, guaranteed. And I know we're going to have mashed potatoes because I'm catering it from the local pub.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's going to be good. Some good stuff.
Oh, God. It's going to be a delicious dinner. But at the same time, like, I'm going to make an alternate dressing or stuffing for myself that is going to be lower in carb. And I'm going to make either biscuits or cornbread that me and maybe Rach or whoever want.
And also, a mount is something too. Because
yes.
I'm the type of person I used to, when Thanksgiving, I'd go back, like, you know, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
I do once now. I go once, I fill my plate up, and that's it. I make myself not go back, because that's, you know, carbs are bad for diabetics, because carbs turn to sugar. And so you don't know that you really ate too many carbs till hours later, and then your sugar's off the charts. Like, why? I haven't eaten anything sweet. Well, yeah, you had 16 rolls, you know.
Right. Or you had the white rice or whatever else it was.
It eventually catches up to you. It eventually turns to sugar and eventually catches up to you. So you got to watch those carbs around the holidays.
You know, and here's something that I have learned. If you do want to eat stuff that probably is going to spike your blood sugar, now this works for me, and I can't say it's going to work for others, but like Taco Bell is not good for you, and it's going to spike your blood sugar. We got those cheddar cheese gorditas.
I haven't eaten Taco Bell in years. I'm going to take your word for it.
Oh, dude, it was the chalupa and a soft taco and the soda for $6. But and nachos with cheese. Jeez. But it was a 2-for-1 deal. Buy one, get one.
So it was a deal. You had to get it.
You
had to get it.
And we actually wound up getting it twice. So the first time I pigged, man. I went whole hog, and my blood sugar spiked around 198 or something like that. And I was like, not as horrible as it could have been, but certainly not good.
Oh boy, yeah. My spikes are like 250. That's
So then I was like, all right, we ordered it again. And Rachel's like, oh, are you going to save it for tomorrow? I'm like, no, but you know what I'm going to do? She's like, well, I'm going to save it for later. So I had I had some and put it down, came back to it like an hour later and put it down. They came back to the nachos an hour later. And my blood sugar stayed like in the 130s. And I was like,
didn't love
all that. Right, I can eat crappy food, tasty food, but crappy food, as long as I don't take it all in at once, as long as I give my body a chance to handle what's coming in. So a lot of it's learning how your own body reacts to
different And that's foods. That's a good point, because, you know, not everybody's the same, because some of the things I do, people like, that's, you do that? I'm like, yeah, but it works for me. I can do it this way and it works. And other people, like, for instance, I don't like sweets very much. I'm not a big sweet guy. I don't like really like pies or cakes or candy. And so a lot of diabetics, what they do is they have like a cheat day where they'll have like a piece of pie or a piece of cake. Well, I don't have cheat days because I don't like sweets. I'm not a big sweets guy, but my cheat days will be like potatoes or rice,
right?
Or macaroni, which I love pasta. I can eat pasta. And so, you can't do that. That's carbs. I'm like, well, it's not different than you doing a cheat day with a pie. It's just that I don't like sweets, so my cheat day is going to be a side of rice instead, or a side of macaroni and macaroni and cheese or something. So everybody's different. So you have to learn how your body works. And some people, my body reacts very well to exercise. When I exercise, I can drop my sugar like crazy. And so it reacts much better to exercise than it does to maybe, let's say, eating the right foods. Because as diabetics know, sugar. I mean, you can have fruit. Fruit's good for you, but fruit sugar is just as bad as any sugar.
Right.
I can't eat sugar. I can't eat fruit in the morning. If I eat fruit in the morning, my sugar just boom goes to the roof, spikes. And so, some people are like, oh, you should eat a nice, drink some orange juice. Like, I can't do that. Eat a banana. No, I can't, so I can't really do that. But you just have to know how your own body reacts. Everybody's body is a little different. There's no one size fits all. You know, you just find out what works for you. Like you always say, that's true. You just find out what works for you. It may not be works for everybody else.
Right.
It probably isn't going to be works for everybody else.
And it's not just your body, but it's also how your mind. You know, a lot of things about dieting is psychological. So you have to not just reteach yourself, but you have to find possibly substitutes. I do have a sweet tooth, but I have found low-carb substitutes for things like brownies that you can buy or I like the snack, and I found like low carb onion, those onion rings that you get at the supermarket that are like in the snack aisle that you crunch on. And it's like, oh, they taste so oniony. They should taste like shit, but they don't. They taste good. and like Cheetos. Well, I found ones that are made with pea flour, which is higher in protein and it's lower in carbs.
Ah, yes.
But you're not. But as opposed to getting like a bag of stuff that tastes great and is shitty for your body for $3, I'm getting a single serving for $2.75. So it makes you pay. Nice. But I'd rather eat that single serving. Again, the money I'm not paying at the pub right now for lunch four afternoons a week can go to buying healthier foods. So
and this suddenly took a left turn and became
a little Gamer's Health,
the health program, and Gamer's Health.
Yeah,
we didn't know we were gonna do a Gamer's Health program before Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, it's just a little nudge in the right direction. Neither Mike nor I are telling you not to enjoy your Thanksgiving. But
we're partying up
at moderation. You shouldn't feel like you're going to be in a coma the next day.
If you don't fire any guns in the air. No guns. No firing guns in the air. No
Thanksgiving Day.
No shooting guns in the air.
Celebration with firearms.
If you have a chance, if you can roll some dice, roll some dice. I wish I could game this week. I can't really game this weekend due to circumstance. I would love. I'm actually jonesing for gaming, man. It's been almost a month.
I'm really jonesing for
gaming. I guess I could run a game from my computer like other people do. But
Mike, you're stepping into the 21st century.
Probably not going to happen. Not till the next Frog Out Game Day in January or February, whenever that is. Oh, did we pimp Orcus in the 34th level?
Well, I was just about to do that. I pulled it up on my screen.
Speaking of holidays, I just thought about holidays, and I thought about Orcus. I was thinking about Orcus and holidays.
Well, here's the thing. Frog God Games is sponsoring the Tavern Chat podcast, at least for a period of time, and is therefore sponsoring it and telling you about Orcus on 34th level. Available exclusively on Indiegogo, whether you play Swords and Wizardry, 5e, and Pex maybe say the now resilient Pathfinder. But Pathfinder 1e is kind of like Monty Python's Bring Out Your Dead. I ain't dead yet. Uh-huh. You can't kill it. There's loyal players for it.
The people are so loyal that, and the sad thing is they're loyal to Pathfinder 2.0 people.
Yeah.
Because they love their Pathfinder 1.0, which there was nothing wrong with that game.
The only flaw with Pathfinder is that, well, they weren't selling the core books like they had been. And the core third-party books were selling great. But what don't third-party books do for Paizo? They don't make money directly for Paizo. So, but in any case, go to tenkars-tavern.com/orcus. That is tenkars-tavern.games/orcus. Pick up your copy. Use the link if you can. I'd appreciate it. It shows the frogs that I sent you. If you do back it, go to the comments and say Tenkar sent me. That'll really, really show, man. But no, it looks good, and I interviewed John Hook on Sunday. And
I saw that. Yeah, how was John doing? I haven't heard that yet. I'm sorry, I haven't listened to you yet.
No, it's okay. No, it went very well, and John had a great time. I had a great time, and he told me after the show, because I really love the format, and the format of the Fireside Chat is pretty much what we do here. Hang out for 5 minutes before we hop in, catch up on stuff, get a general idea of maybe where the topic we might want to touch on, and go with it. We don't have scripts. We don't have bullet points. And I've done podcasts. I've worked on podcasts where bullet points and stuff are part of it. And the problem is if you have bullet points that you have to get to, then you kind of have to control the conversation to get to them.
Yeah. It always ends up being not very natural. It's kind of like you're kind of forced. And yeah, you've all heard the radio interviews where the guy has to talk about they have the baseball guy on, but they got to talk about his book he just came out with. So they're talking about, you know, hey, it was great when you hit 5 home runs, and oh yeah, well let's talk about your book that you're in. So, you know, it's never really natural.
No. So even John was like, wow, because he had fun. And that's the other thing too. If you're listening to this, if you're watching this, one thing you can definitely tell is Mike and I have fun. And true. We enjoy doing this. There is a Thanksgiving themed adventure for sale right now. This is John Miller saying it's a Thanksgiving themed adventure. Go to DriveThru RPG at Feast of the Gobbler. It is 70% off. Or you can go to Frog Games and buy for an undirected.
But yeah, Feast of the Gobbler. That's a good one. I forgot all about that. That came out last year. That's awesome. Yes.
So, I mean, don't pass up on it, folks. Really, it's a great sale going on with Frog Games. There's going to be a lot of big sales going on. That's going to be great for us geeks. And we discussed earlier in the show, it sucks that your brick and mortar stores are suffering. I don't think that by not shopping on Amazon and yet not shopping at your local store, that you're going to help your local store. I think putting gaming material in the hands of gamers who can then maybe when the local stores open up, play some of their products at these stores and buy new material might be useful too. It's just a thought. I don't know, Mike. What do you say?
I think whatever you said sounds perfectly
true. I mean, bet you say that to all the podcasts.
I do. The ones.
Yeah.
I don't want to make you mad until I get my big giant check for this.
Oh yeah, the big giant check.
Speaking of giant checks, but not jolly checks. Any word on Torchlight? Are we still looking at?
We're looking at and I don't want to get in trouble. Okay.
No, we're not all Jeff.
Not in trouble with you. I don't want to get in trouble with Jeff, who does my layout and.
Oh, okay. Well, no, but, you know, just spitball it.
Here's the thing. The layout is pretty much done, but now I have to go in and make sure the title page, the credit page is correct. I have an opening paragraph or two that I got to make sure, and then I got to do the OGL. I would say you're definitely going to see Torchlight 1 come in around 32 pages. Should be out. Here, I'm going to do my James Raggy. It'll be out before the end of the year. It could be out before the end of the month. I don't know. But end of the year, definitely. But issue two is already being submitted for. We already have material for it. The work that's coming in for it is high quality professional stuff. I can't be happier with the contributors.
I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Listen, the premiere issue, which I guess in my days of comic book collecting would have been the Ashcan edition, right? The issue zero was a proof of concept that we could do it. And now we're going to show what we can do. Not just we can, what we can. And I think that is going to up it. I think that's pretty good.
So. Man, fanzines are the future, baby.
There you go. We might have enough pages to put it into print on demand.
Oh, that would be – hey, now there – I like fanzines, but I really like fanzines that you can hold in your hand.
So do I.
That's the best. That's the best.
So, folks, as always, we are in the world of COVID. We've discussed it a little bit on the show. Mike, myself, we are not medical professionals. We make no claims to be. My advice always is use your common sense and take actions that will protect your health and that of your loved ones, your family, your friends, your community. And if you need more advice, then use your common sense. Seek professional medical advice from somebody you trust. Ignore the talking heads on TV because any random three talking heads will give you three random fucking instructions and they can all go screw themselves. Be safe, be well. God bless. May you all have a blessed, whether you are a believer or not, what your religion is, may you have a blessed, peaceful, safe Thanksgiving holiday. And roll your dice and roll them well, right?
Yes. Wear your mask at wherever you eat at.
Well, you can't unless wear the mask eating. While you're eating.
Yeah, no, while you're eating, don't wear the mask. Take it off to eat.
Right, because if you're wearing a mask and you got to pull it down and shove food in, you
might have to. That's awkward.
I can't chew gum and walk at the same time. I think I think that that would just be, well, it'd be fun to film, but not fun to watch it firsthand. All right, folks. God bless. We'll talk.
Stay safe.
We'll talk to you in a week, and I'll come back tomorrow.
Later. Oh, yes.